You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the equine network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
It's Freestyle Friday, and I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Friday, April 19th, episode 3414, brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse people.
It's Friday, and another weekend of riding is a few short hours away. Jamie and Glenn are here to help you make it through the day with some fun guests and some really bad acts. Enjoy the show.
Well, we have a fun show planned for you today. Auditor Katie and her dad went horse shopping, not for Katie, but for him. So we're going to talk about that. Author Vicky, how do you say her last name?
Kasorg
tells us the story about Joe, the horse nobody loved. I kind of feel like you have one of those and could write a book now. Plus some really bad ads coming up. And we have a lot of good, really bad ads today. And we'll hang around for a few minutes for a post show. But speaking of the horse that nobody loved, we talked about Taco. We did a reading with him on Wednesday. And you said Taco had an osteopath appointment. This, of course, is your pony you bought. So what happened at the osteopath?
Man, so if you an osteopath is like a full body workup. There's a veterinarian in the area called Dr. Kim Rasmussen, and she's kind of known for like having this, like she spent 2 hours with him on Wednesday. So I take him there and unload him, and jumped out of the trailer, was really good for the whole thing. I was really impressed, but like, within minutes, he just fell asleep. He just loved her attention. And I mean, like, she put her hands, it's crazy. She put her hands on him and she had an assistant with her and she was like, oh, feel his diaphragm. Like, what is it? It's so tight. You know, like his whole body was tight from front to back. She was like, he was ridden by somebody who was right-handed and had an ill-fitting Western saddle on because the entire left upper side of his body had like scar tissue that they worked on. While we were working on him, I made mention that he had just had a psychic reading and she said these things, this. And at the end of it, I said to her, so the psychic said he was sore on his right hind. What about that? She was like, Oh yeah. That right hind is. Yeah.
Really?
She was, yeah.
This was Leslie, by the way, from I Speak to Animals. It was on Wednesday if you didn't hear it.
She did say
right hind. She picked that out of the blue. I mean,
I asked.
And
yeah,
you said, he has no problems with his right hind.
Yeah. One of the questions that I asked was ask him if he hurts anywhere. And she said right hind. Well, apparently underneath, like not in the location where castration occurs, but in front of that, like, I mean, Dr. Rasmussen got up in there and she had her hand like on his sheath, like behind, she was like, there is a massive amount of scar tissue in between his sheath and his like flank up under there. And I thought he would kill her. And he just leaned into it. Like, I mean, he would like really appreciated her kind attention. But yeah, she said that.
I wonder what he got into to get it up in there.
I don't know, but she gave us a lot of exercises to go home with. And some of them are like you stretch that right hind to the front and everything. And then also this really cool stretch where I'm standing on his left side by his hip and you put your hand underneath the tail and the point of that hip, like on the opposite side, you push your hand and just like it separates their pelvis a little bit, like stretches it and stretches out the ligaments and everything. And you push against the opposite hip. Like she taught me a new word. You want to hear my new word?
Yeah. What's your new word?
My new word for butthole.
Yeah.
Anal button. She's like, just put your hand to the right on the hip, just past the anal button. And I was like, that's the greatest thing I've ever heard. So you like push into that and and like they lean into you. It is the craziest thing. So I've tried it on like every one of my horses and they're all like, oh, like lean, like push into your hand. And you do it on both sides anyway. I'm supposed to do it on his right hind, which is what she Taco told Leslie hurt. So just well,
okay, I have another one. She also said that the neck wound or scar tissue that he has was probably from ropes. Did we determine anything about that?
Yeah, she said it could be ropes, I guess. It could be a tracheotomy, which is what my veterinarian said here was that potentially he had, what's the word, strangles. And it could have been opened that way. She said it could be a rope, could be crushed, or it could be that. We just don't know. So that was not conclusive at all. But she did say, do you know what he looks like to me? A res pony, which there's a lot of res ponies around
which
here.
Which means reservation?
Reservation, like native reservation pony. And he totally looks like that. Now, the cool thing is I have sent off yesterday his DNA. So we will see through Edelon what his DNA actually
says. Yeah, we're
going to
do that reading
says.
On the air, right? Before you even see the results.
I guess so. I don't know how it works. I mean, I did the dang dog, so might as well do the pony. But yeah, she said he looks like a res pony. And so those are not gently treated or hand raised. So the roping thing could definitely have happened. I mean, if that's his background. So we'll see. It's so many questions that are going to be answered and then a lot that aren't. So...
Well, Leslie, we give you credit for the right hind because that did come out of nowhere and Jamie wasn't believing it. So there you go.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was like, I said to the doctor because I get there and I'm like, just so you know, he was just read by a psychic this morning.
Did she roll her eyes?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She was like, really? Okay. Cool. Because she's like a medical professional. You know? Like, I'm going to take veterinary medicine and specialize in the entire body. You know, like, so we kind of rolled our eyes. But at the end, she was like, yeah, the right hind. Yeah. Yeah. I was like,
and
okay.
A lot of other parts.
Lots of other things, too, were sore. Now, the thing is, he's not lame or anything. He's just had a bunch of scar tissue from some sort of injury that happened, whether he was pulled over with rope necks on his rope. Who knows? I'll just tell you, his experience has not been lovely, but he's I'm not allowed to do anything with him till Sunday. He needs to have all these days off. So no updates on how he's feeling about me.
Okay.
Emotionally.
All right, let's see some daily whinnies. Well, we have several auditor birthdays this weekend. Melissa Leistcow. Rebecca Brasher and Lucy Douglas. Also, I wanted to give a shout out to the National Collegiate Equestrian Association because they're coming to town this weekend. At the World Equestrian Center is the 2024 championship. So good for the World Equestrian Center getting the collegiate team championships. It started yesterday and it runs through tomorrow. So apparently it's being streamed live on horseandcountry.tv. And the Georgia Bulldogs are in it. I just want to let you know.
Go Dogs.
They're there.
Well, my daily whinny goes to the Kentucky Derby. You guys, I'm going to give you the horse.
Oh, I thought you were saying you were going to the Kentucky Derby.
No, I'm not going. I'm going to Land Rover Rolex Defender Kentucky 3-day. And that's the weekend before. I can't spend that much time in Kentucky. I'll buy too many things. So this is the coolest thing. I have our Derby pick. It is a guarantee that we're going to all cheer for one particular horse.
All right.
Ask me which horse.
Which horse?
I don't know. So the Churchill Downs Foundation partnered with 20 thoroughbred aftercare organizations for this 150th Kentucky Derby, and they have pledged $150,000 donation to support all the organizations. So what they're going to do on Monday, April 29th, as soon as they draw the post positions for the Derby horses, they are then going to do a special aftercare post position draw. And there are 20 rescues that are going to be partnered with the 20 horses. Every organization is guaranteed at least $5,000 from the Churchill Downs Foundation. But the winner, the winning rescue that's partnered with the winning horse gets $25,000. The runner-up, $20,000. The third place, $15,000. Fourth place, $10,000. And everybody else in any order gets $5,000. And of course, I would like to thank them for choosing Horse and Hound Rescue.
Oh, yay.
How fantastic is that?
Oh, my, she could use it too.
Oh, man. I mean, all of them can, but as you know, I mean,
what
yeah.
What a cool idea, though.
Isn't that great? Isn't that so
awesome? Because everybody has a
awesome?
Favorite rescue, right? So now you're going to be rooting for that horse.
Yeah. So here's the, do you mind to name the rescues? Because I've heard of so many of these,
right,
you know, and
them
supported
quick.
Them. After the Races, Friends of Ferdinand, Galloping Out, Horse and Hound, James River Horse Foundation, Kentucky Equine Adoption Center, mm-hmm. Mid-Atlantic Horse Rescue, New Vocations, Old Friends, Racing for Home, Remember Me Rescue, Rerun, Stack and Stride, Secretariat Center, Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation, Thoroughbred Retirement Network of Louisiana, TRRAC, United Pegasus Foundation, Virginia Thoroughbred Project, and Win Place Home, who does a lot of work with the Thoroughbreds at Monty at Horse at Flag Is Up Farm. Sorry, so they deal a lot with Win Place Home. So all of these
we've
are
had
fantastic.
Half of those on our show, at least.
I know, like so many of them. We've had Friends of Ferdinand on so many times,
yeah.
and Horse and Hound, and Mid Atlantic, and New Vocations,
yeah.
Old Friends. Like this is so fantastic. I'm so excited. Obviously, you can tell I'm excited. Sorry, I get a little. But to for Horse and Hound, a rescue in Guthrie, Oklahoma, to be picked for this is just unbelievable. So we will definitely keep you guys up to date, and you can cheer along with the horse that you like, the rescue that you partner with. You know, I'm so excited.
Wow. Yeah. I can't wait. Hey, there's another person that's not excited about the running of
fantastic. It's so fantastic.
His name is Mr. Zidane. He's the owner of a lot of racehorses. Well, he sued the Kentucky Derby because Bob Baffert's suspension still runs through this year. So he's not allowed to run any horses at the Kentucky Derby. So his suspension runs through this year. Well, apparently Mr. Zidane, who you might remember his name because he was the one that owned Medina Spirit, that was the one that got Baffert in trouble in 2021 because he failed the drug test.
I don't actually think I think Baffert was allowed to have horses in the Derby this year. This was going to be the first year.
Nope. He runs through the end of the year. So that's why this lawsuit came about, because Zidane wanted to get his horse, who did particularly well in the preseason, but couldn't accumulate points because Baffert was the trainer. So I think what happened here is this is a horse nobody thought, well, I won't do it. But then he won the Arkansas Derby, which would have qualified him for the Kentucky Derby. But he didn't switch trainers. Apparently switched trainers on a lot of his other horses, but not this one. Kept this one with Baffert. So the judge said that they will not grant the injunction and that this horse cannot run. And part of the reason he said that was because it would take out a horse that's already been selected, and it's not fair. And he's still under suspension, so we're not making an exception. Now, apparently this is going to be taken up with the Kentucky Supreme Court to see if there can be an exception made. We're running out of time to do all of that, by the way. But so he lost. But I want to do this whole story to get to this paragraph. Churchill Downs responded to Thursday's ruling, and I got to tell you, whoever wrote this is brilliant. We are pleased with the court's decision today and believe Mr. Zidane may suffer from a case of Derby fever, which is known to spread with exposure to horses and is contagious this time of year. Symptoms can contribute to questionable judgment and in extreme cases can result in litigious behavior. There is no known cure.
Nobody's got a cure for Derby fever.
Give him credit for that paragraph. Well written. A sense of humor from the Kentucky Derby.
Wow. Churchill Downs bringing it strong in two ways. So, I mean, gotta love saying good things about horse racing. I love it.
There is no known cure for litigious behavior. I love that one. All right. Let's hear from Kentucky Performance Products, and then we're going to go to our first guest. We're going to go to one of our terrific auditors, Katie Moulton. And she posted a story in the auditor room, and several auditors asked us to have her on. She went horse shopping a long distance with her dad, who is 70 years old, to find him a horse. It's usually the other way around, so that's what caught our attention with this one.
This Nutritional Minute is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Electrolytes. Who needs them? Your horse, that's who. Electrolytes perform critical functions within your horse's body. They help regulate nerve and muscle functions by carrying electrical impulses between cells. In addition, electrolytes assist the body in maintaining a healthy fluid balance by controlling your horse's desire to drink. When your horse loses significant amounts of electrolytes and fluids, problems such as dehydration, muscle cramping, fatigue, tying up, and colic may occur. Even in mild forms, these conditions can have a negative impact on your horse's ability to perform and recover after exercise. Horses that are ridden regularly or those that live in hot, humid climates may lose more electrolytes than their bodies are capable of replacing with a normal diet. In these instances, it is necessary to replenish lost electrolytes and keep your horse drinking. Summer Games Electrolyte replenishes the electrolytes and trace minerals lost when your horse sweats, and it stimulates the thirst response so your horse continues to drink and stay properly hydrated. Summer Games was developed for the 1996 Summer Olympics in Atlanta. Trust Summer Games Electrolyte to protect your horse when the going gets hot. To learn more, visit kppusa.com. Got questions about your feeding program? We can help. Email Karen at questions@kppusa.com or call us at 859-873-2974.
Well, hi, Katie. You've been a listener for quite a while, haven't you?
Yes. I think I've been a listener for a while and an auditor for probably 11 years now.
Oh, my God. That's a while.
That's a while. That's
a
all
long us. Time, Katie. Katie has been on our show before, too. She came on to talk about living in cold temperatures. And you live in Vermont, right?
Yes.
Was it cold this year in Vermont?
Oh, it's always cold.
I was going to say, Glenn, what do you expect? It's beachy. It's beach weather. We're in bikinis all winter.
It's just a matter of how much snow we get. But yeah, it's been pretty chilly.
Now, Katie, when you grew up, did you have horses?
Yes. Well, my dad has a dairy farm, so we've always had animals, and my aunt had horses here. And my dad, when we were kids, my sister and I tried talking him into getting horses, and he didn't want to get any of those hay burners. So it took us a little while to convince him that we should have horses, and I think my mom finally talked him into it, but he decided that he actually liked riding those hay burners, too, so he rides now.
Well, Russell is your dad, and he is here. Russell, is that how you remember this whole story?
Yeah, it's pretty much the way it went. Of course, you know, when you're dairy farming, you try to keep the, you know, less animals as possible that aren't making you money. Well, but I grew up with horses.
Oh, did you? So. Okay, so you were riding when you were a kid?
Yeah, we had ponies and horses, and my grandfather had work horses on this farm.
So you had the draft horses on the farm?
Yeah, my grandfather always had draft horses. My father bought the first tractor, and my grandfather didn't believe in tractors. He liked the work horses.
I love that. I don't know which was actually costlier in the long run, the horses or the tractor. It might have been even.
Yeah, it probably was, but the horses were pretty neat. I can remember when I was a kid, they used to log up on the mountain, and they had a horse called Old Dan, and Dan would go up to the wood, into the woods, and pull the logs back down to the landing all by himself. My father would unhook them, turn them around, send them back up into the up on the mountain. My grandfather was cutting up there, and would hitch the horse, and he'd skid the log down, and my father would unhook it, and it was a pretty neat system. I was just a little kid going up there with my father at the time. But
Russell, he would do this without anybody leading him?
Nobody would lead him.
Wow. He's the Sergeant Reckless of draft horses. Draft.
Yeah, he was, of course, he was been worked on the farm his whole, you know, the whole life. So the horse was, it was pretty neat. And it was a weird story is that we have a quarry that's 4 miles from us, and they'd blow the whistle at noon. That meant all the guys at the quarry, it was lunchtime. And old Dan, my father my grandfather would say, when he got to the top of the mountain, he could be within reach of my grandfather to take another hitch. If that whistle blew, that horse turned around and headed home, headed down back to the landing, because they always went home for lunch, and the horse always got grain and hay and stuff at lunch too, just like everybody else. So, and at 4 o'clock, my father said, did the same thing. When a whistle blew, he was done for the day. So, he'd been worked in the woods a lot, so he knew the system.
I love this. Why do I always end up with the ones that would, the first time we turned them loose with the log, would just disappear to the neighboring county? Maybe that says something about me and not the horse, actually, come to think about it.
Yeah.
So Russell, you went horse shopping recently, and you went with your daughter. Have you had horses all along now and just needed a new one? What was the story?
I had a walking horse that died last fall. He was just got old, and he went out in a corner of the field and by the woods and just laid down, and we found him dead. So,
and you had had him for a long time?
Yeah, we got him when he was 3, so we'd had him close to 25 years.
Wow. Was it a hard decision to want to get in? Because I know that you're around 70, right? You're a little older than me. So was it a hard decision to want to get another one, or was there no question you were going to get another one?
No, it was no question. I was going to find another one.
Now, I heard you went quite a road trip to do that. Tell us about that.
Yeah, my daughters, Katie and Liza, did some horse shopping, and also my granddaughter, Chloe. They just started looking for horses for me, but the only place there was any Tennessee Walkers was down south. So they lined up 5 or 6 horses down there for us to look at. I think it might have been 7. And by the time we got down there, there were 2 horses left that was available, and the women that had both horses, there were 2 different places, agreed to hold them for us until we got down there and looked at them, which was really nice of them. And but it was amazing. By the time we got down there, 2 had been sold. It was raining, and there was 2 we were going to look at a farm, and the woman didn't want to show them in the rain, and so we kind of had to skip over them. 1 was lame. So it ended up with just these 2 mares, and we ended up buying both of them and bringing them back.
You didn't plan on buying 2, did you?
Well, no. A friend of mine that rides 2, and he said, he said, as long as you're going down there, he said, if you find another good Tennessee Walker, he said, I'm interested in buying one. So he gave me the money before I left to buy him one, and we ended up buying 1 for me and 1 for him. We've been riding together for, I don't know, we've been riding probably for 40 years. We do a big camp ride up north. There used to be like 14, 15 guys that all rode up there, and now it's down to 3 or 4. They've got out of it, or they've passed away, or... You know, it's just dwindling, but we still do it, and we're going to keep on doing it as long as we can.
Congratulations. Tell us about your new horse.
The horse has turned out great. She's it's a little jumpy when I first got her home and started riding her. She's fine, you know, she's settling in now. She's getting used to me. I'm getting used to her, and she goes good. She you know, perfectly trained horse. Of course, she's 15.
Oh, she's 15? So, okay, I was going to ask you that. And how is she? Tennessee Walkers come in a range of sizes. How big is she?
She's probably 15 too.
Well, that's probably perfect for you, actually.
Yep. No,
I'll tell you what, my wife has been shopping too for gated horses, and it's tough. They're, if you have a good gated horse, you're right. It sells immediately and for a lot more money than they used to.
Oh, yeah. It's and up here where we live, there's very few gated horses. There's a lot of Morgans and a lot of quarter horses, and so it's just hard to even find one up here. I mean, I looked all winter, couldn't find one around our area. That's what made us decide, well, we're taking a trip to, we bought one in Tennessee and one in North Carolina.
Wow, this was a good road trip. I just am still stuck on the fact that your friend's like, just get me one too. But then you've been riding with him for 40 years. You must know his type. So when you get two horses, do you then spend the rest of the drive home trying to figure out which one you want? Or did you know which one you wanted and then he gets the other one?
Well, I tried them both out, obviously, when we went to the farms there. And the second one I like better just because years ago I had a horse about her same. It was a gelding, but his name was Sir. And she's got the same attitude, and she's a little, a little bullheaded, maybe you might say, or something. But she's got a spirit to her. I guess that's a better way of putting it. She's just a little bit spirited and reminded me of Sir. And so I just like that one better. And that's the only other than that. Both horses are excellent horses. So I just said, I'm going to have to take that one.
So, Katie, do you realize how many – you do realize you're an auditor. You're in the auditor room. Do you realize how many people listening right now, women listening right now, would love to have this experience with their dad? I hope you're not taking that for granted, because there are a ton out there that would love to have this experience.
No, absolutely. I appreciate the fact that we can do this with my dad, and my sister's my twin, and we're all, very much into riding together. My mom has a horse, so it's nice that, we can do it as a family, and my kids ride, my nieces ride. It's just, it's a big family affair, really. And that weekend, I was actually pretty sick, and I ended up getting pneumonia, or I was diagnosed with pneumonia after, and I almost didn't go because I told them, you guys don't want me hacking in the car truck while we're driving down there, and they're like, no, we want you to go. And I thought about it. I'm like, when else are we going to have this opportunity to just do this fun, quick road trip all together, just me and my sister and my dad? So I was like, all right, count me in.
An entire family that rides. Jamie, in the 14 years we've been doing this, we have not met too many of an entire family that rides.
I'm insanely jealous right now, but I'm also appreciative of the fact that your dad is a dairy farmer who let all his children have horses and wife too. You guys, usually that's I'm not making any money. It's got to go, kind of thing. So it's really cool that he embraces the, the horse bug will get you no matter how old or what you do.
That's right. And I think he realized that it would keep us out of trouble later in life.
Hey, Russell, did that work? Did they stay out of trouble, Russell?
Yeah, actually, it worked out pretty good because we had the horses, and my daughters were here riding the horses, and all their friends were here riding the horses. So I knew, me and my wife knew most of the time where they were. They were right here. So
that did work out. Russell, I want to ask you one other thing. Do you have any cows left, or are they all gone?
No, we have some beef cows,
but the milkers are gone. Huh? Yeah,
yeah. About 5 years ago, it's it just time to retire.
Yeah, you don't miss getting up at 4 a.m. to do that every day, do you?
Well, I do. I like milking
cows, really?
And I like cows, so I do a little bit. But it's kind of nice to be able to relax and do other things too. So.
I was in the investment business for a long time, and most of my clients were dairy farmers. And, the thing that struck me is they just never got any time off, because those cows did need milked every day. It wasn't like, let's go away for the weekend. They couldn't.
Right. Yeah. And that's what was nice about the horses and the whole family doing it. You could take off in the afternoon and do an afternoon ride and, get back here and still milk the cows. So it was a nice family thing that was easy to do, you know, being a farmer.
Well, congratulations on your new pony. I'm very excited that you get to ride. This is a whole, this is the perfect story for a Friday show. I just love this whole story.
I love everything. Yeah, it's awesome.
And I want old Dan. I want old Dan. Can you send old Dan down this way?
I want old Dan.
Yeah. We all want old. Jamie really wants old Dan right now.
Yeah.
Well, thank you both. We appreciate you being on.
Well, thank you.
All right, take care.
No one knows your horse's thoughts, emotions, and moods as well as you. Just as in touch as you are with their personality, Sentinel's expert nutritionists are in tune with their dietary needs. With feeds in the form of extruded nuggets to provide exceptional nutrition and formulas made for every life stage and activity level, Sentinel's wide choice of carefully crafted feeds makes it easy to find the perfect fit to better your horse's health. Learn more at feedsentinel.com/Horse Radio Network. That's feedsentinel.com/Horse Radio Network.
All right. Coming up next, we're going to get our next guest on the line. She is an author. This was requested by a bunch of our auditors, actually. She is an author, and she wrote a really cool book. We're going to find out more about it because it's a true story about a horse that she had that nobody loved.
I would like to welcome to the show Vicky Kaziorg, and she is the author of a book called Joe, the Horse Nobody Loved. Thank you for joining us, Vicky.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Where in the world are you right now?
So I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay, lovely, lovely. Well, you wrote a book about Joe, and this, from what I understand, is a true story, and we were sent your contact information by a bunch of listeners who wanted to hear about it. So tell us a little bit, first of all, about yourself.
Well, that's so awesome. Well, the book was actually, I don't know, I think it was the third or fourth book I wrote. And it had been a story that had been percolating in my head for 50 years. I have been an animal lover my whole life. I'm still an animal lover. I started off in animal rescue. Now I'm actually in human rescue. But I have always cheered on the underdog. And always loved the marginalized and wanted to be a part of giving them a voice. And that was true as a 9-year-old. I reread that book, which happened, the story happened when I was 9 years old. And I reread it just to, you know, I wrote it 10 years ago. I reread it a couple days ago and just sobbing my eyes out through remembering this story that was such a pivotal story of my life. But currently I actually work in Charlotte as the sidewalk training director of an organization, a ministry called Love Life. And it, you know, as I'm rereading my story of Joe, it struck me how my whole life has been doing that, you know, going to those who everybody else kind of marginalizes and forgets. And being their advocate. So that's kind of the short story.
Well, that's good. No, so Joe, the description says, an ugly and unloved horse that trusted no one. So how did you come across Joe?
I was 9 years old, horse crazy, and I knew that we had just moved to Illinois, and I knew that there was a horse farm down the street, decrepit, dilapidated old farm. But in my eyes, there were horses. It was beautiful. And I told my mom, I'm going to go ask for a job at that farm. And she just said, okay, bye. And and I walked a mile down the road to this muddy farm filled with old nags and said, I'll do anything. If you'll just let me be around the horses. And they set me to work mucking out stalls. They found out that I was a determined 9-year-old. And my the wages for me working at that farm was they would give me a horse that I could ride and for as long as I was at that farm. And I had never ridden a horse. I'd never even been around a horse. I just loved them. But after I'd been there, I don't know, a month or so, they said, okay, we're ready to offer you a horse. And I had been watching this horse, Joe, who was the meanest horse at the farm. No one could ride him except for the son of the farm owners. And he was cruel to Joe, but he was the only one that could ride Joe. And Joe just was, he was a loner in the horse world. The horses hated him. He hated the horses. Everybody was afraid of Joe except for this one, the kid, who rode him cruelly. And I would just watch. And my heart was breaking for this horse. And when they said, Vicki, well, you can choose a horse. And they recommended Beauty, I think was the name of the horse, who was a really calm and gentle horse that a five-year-old actually used to ride. And I said, okay, I want Joe.
And of course you did.
Of course I did. And they tried to dissuade me, but I insisted, no, I want Joe. And the owner saw something in me that I didn't even know at the time was in me, but she said, okay. And that began the story of this friendship between me and the horse Joe.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful. That is, yeah, that is exactly, let me back up, because as a mother of a 10-year-old,
yeah,
letting my child walk a mile down the road to work for somebody who may or may not be homeless, that's scary, but that was the times, right?
Well, not only was it the times, but my sweet mom, who is no longer with us, but she practiced a form of parenting, which I talk about in the book, which she called benign neglect, which a lot of the parents of the 50s and 60s did. She would send us kids out the door, literally lock the door, and we could return and come in back inside at the next mealtime. And so she often didn't know where we were, or only a vague idea of where we were. And yeah, that was, it did feel like a safer world back there. But the funny thing is, which I talk about in the book, is I should have and could have died hundreds of times at that barn. It was not a safe place. Yeah. But it was where I found, I truly found, I think, the beginning of my purpose in life. Wow. And like I said, it was a pivotal story in my life.
It's funny, you mentioned benign neglect, and I was raised in a very similar way. I grew up on 15 acres, and my parents we had a pony. And it was like, you know, it's a pony, you can just ride it. No, this pony wasn't really rideable. But like through benign neglect, I was able to kind of connect with it, kind of like you did with Joe. But looking back, there's so many times I should have died. And look, here we are telling our story.
Yeah.
Despite our parents' best efforts, we're still here.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, my mom read the book 50 years later when I wrote it. And she said, if I had known that that it was a dangerous place, I would not have let you go there.
And that's why we don't tell them.
We don't tell them. And, one of the stories that I talk about in the book is when I brought my younger sister out there, and she was leading a horse across a very, very muddy section that was always muddy. It was like this mud pit right before the horse could walk into the barn. And they never did anything about it. It was dangerous, even for the horses, walking through this deep, deep mud. And the horse balked. My sister was like, I don't know, probably herself then 9 or 10. I was by then like the ripe old age of 13 and a seasoned horse person. And the horse would not walk across this mud pit. And I called out to my sister, Amy, smack him in the nose, or someone did, I don't know. And the horse picked up his hoof, put it flat on Amy's back, and knocked her down into the mud, and then walked on her, across her, into the barn. And she was, you know, disappeared under the mud. And we, of course, all think she's got to be dead. She was fine, completely uninjured. And then it's up to me to get Amy home covered with this manure mud and try to get her clothes and everything cleaned up without my mom finding out.
And so that mud. It was a good cushion.
It has to have been. I don't know how she survived. I guess, you know, the mud probably went all the way to China, we thought. So she just sank far enough that the horse didn't injure her. But stories like that throughout. But Joe, just he knew, and I think any animal lover knows that this is true of animals with empathetic human beings that truly love them. They know. They know, and Joe knew. Joe never harmed me, even though he tried to harm everybody else, but he never, ever harmed me. And so the story tells about just all of these things that everyone said Joe never could or would do.
Wow, this is amazing.
With a human being.
You've written 14 books, and you've done, where can people go and find out more about you and the Burton Farm series of books and all that?
Sure. You can, I've actually written 28 by the time I had written the book. I think it only said 14, but I'm a prolific writer, but you can go to Amazon, and if you just Google, I mean, there's a long website name, but if you just Google Vicki Tosiork author, Amazon books, they're all there. There's some are audio, some are Kindle, some are all three, you know, hard copy, Kindle and audio books. And yeah, that's where you can find me in the Burton. This is the Burton Farm series. I do want to say Joe was nonfiction, completely nonfiction. Of course, it was written 50 years after it happened. Right. I did change the names of the main characters because I don't always speak about them kindly. And I wanted to be sure they could not be identified. The rest of the series, the horse Gidget in the next three books is a real horse, and that part of the story is true, but they were highly fictionalized, the last three in the series.
But Joe, the horse nobody loved, Vicki, your last name, if people are Googling, it's K-A-S-E-O-R-G. You guys go check out the books. I could listen to you read audiobooks forever, girl, so I'm in.
Well, thank you. And thank you for letting me tell this story. God bless you guys.
You too.
Bye-bye. What about your good guest today, huh?
Oh my gosh, I just want to hug her. And the audio quality is a little weird, you guys, but it's because she was talking to us through her Bluetooth hearing aids. Like, how cool is that? She's like, I can take them off. And I'm like, no, I think it's okay. Like, I want you to be able to hear us.
She said she wouldn't hear us if she took them off. So we were like, okay, well, maybe we'll leave them on.
just leave them on. It'll be fine. Yeah, she's delightful. 28 I really
books.
Like her.
She's an underachiever, huh?
Oh my gosh. And the bio says 14. I'm like, now I just look stupid.
I'll put a link to her Amazon account also if you want to go check out her books. By the way, this particular book had all like 80% 5-star reviews and the rest were 4-star. And they were just nothing, but I couldn't put it down. And I kept reading it until the end. So if you want to check that out, please do.
My Joe was Snowflake, so maybe I'll write a book someday.
You should. See, I've been getting a lot of people trying to get me to write a book about our life, especially when they found out about the acting company and stuff. And it's like, oh, no, you don't realize. Jamie realizes why I can't write a book. My English is not so good.
Well, I know my thing is like people have, because I've had this crazy radio career and met all these people and done all these things, and people are like, you should write a book. And I'm like, no, let me tell you why. Because then I have to relive all of it. And I don't want to relive it. Let me just let it go. I'm going to move past it and let it go.
That's a good reason. All right, let's hear from one of our sponsors, and then we're going to come back with some really bad ads.
Easy, effective, and eco-friendly fly control starts with Fly Predators. Fly predators are the organic, natural way to dramatically minimize your fly problem. Learn more about fly predators and other Spalding Labs fly control solutions at Spalding, Spalding-labs.com.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire, let the buyer beware. Horse trading, they tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading, well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It is time for Really Bad Ads, that time of the week when we just have a little bit of fun with some ads that are sent in by our listeners, either off of Craigslist or Facebook. And we give away some prizes for people who do submit, whether we read your ad on the air or not. You're included in the drawing at the end of the month for the prizes. And I will say one of the first prizes is a box of crap. I haven't given one of those away in a while, and that's where I take stuff I don't want in my office anymore, and I give it to you. Now, I will
say, not like old broken pencils or stuff. It's like things people send him to talk about on the show.
And the other
books.
Thing is, we're getting ready for potential moves, which means I've been cleaning out the office, and I've just been keeping throwing stuff in the box of crap. So the box of crap is growing. I will
now,
say that.
For those that may be new listeners, when I used to have a cat, we had the litter box in the closet. So it would always be like, am I going to send the box of crap or is Glenn? Take Glenn's.
Yeah.
His is full of good stuff. Mine is kitty litter.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of stuff, let me tell you, because I have to get rid of this stuff. And some of it is the old Horse Radio Network logo stuff that it's the last one that we have of them. So you're going to get some things that aren't made anymore.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Kind of retro. So that's coming up. Also, we're giving away an annual subscription to US Rider. That's the 24/7 nationwide plan that covers everything from lockouts to jump starts to towing your vehicles, trucks, and trailers. You're covered whether you're towing or not on all the cars in your house, including trailers, and helping to get your horses to their final destination too. We're giving an annual membership to that away.
That is a great prize. Like, great. The other prize is win a year of Equestrian Plus. It's your one-stop shop for world-class training valued at $150. Equestrian Plus puts the best in the saddle right at your fingertips. Learn from Olympic legends like Stefan Peters, show jumping powerhouse Ann Krasinski, William Fox Pitt. There's tons of training videos, over 5,000 actually, with tutorials and clinic footage and training sessions and so much more. And that's Equestrian Plus, valued at $150. So for some pretty baller prizes.
Pretty good
month,
stuff. Of course, the box of crap is the best. I'm just partial too. So Joe Lynn sent this one in. Hey, I have a gelding I'm parting with. I'm not sure how old he is. He's broke. He is sorrel. I'm pretty sure he's a mule, but he's not as tall as a mule. I'm pretty sure you would know if he was a mule.
Wait, I'm looking at the pictures, and he is
not a mule. Why would you even say that? I'm sorry, I got distracted. He's a really good horse, but I just got a Mustang mare, and I don't really use him anymore. He's not as good as the Mustang mare, apparently. Mustang mare is better. I've used him to move cows. He's not scared of ropes. He's good at lunging. He side passes and backs up, loads well. He's very sound. His feet hardly ever grow. His mane is growing back. What happened to it? He's the kind of horse where you can catch him and throw a saddle on him and go. I ride in a bozal, not a bridle. He's overall a good horse. I just feel bad that he's not getting the attention he should. And all my other horses pick on him. He's pretty small. I'm asking $4,500. I'm located in Idaho. PM me for price. You just gave a price.
$4,500. Oh, that is funny.
So what's the real story with this one is wasn't as good at riding as all the other horses combined, because apparently there's more than one horse because he gets picked on by all the rest. He's pretty small. Never did say how quite big he is.
I love the fact that she's like, I just feel so bad. I just really want him to go somewhere. Oh, by the way, I want $5,000.
Right. Yes. I want him to go
a lot of money. Free to a good home, like just adopt him. No, it's like, I'm selling it. So you're selling this horse, basically, is what it is.
Look at the Western saddle in the picture. By the way, it's a cute pony. And it is a pony. It's not a horse.
I can't see the picture. Well, I don't have my glasses on.
Okay, so the Western saddle in the picture, the flaps come down to below his belly. So this is a 13 to 14 hand pony, not a horse.
So basically, it's going to be like Taco. You're going to think you're going to get 14.2,
right.
But it's 13.2.
It's 13.2. That's exactly right. All right, Lorene was kind enough to send us her weekly submission.
Good morning. It's Lorene Barden.
Hi, Lorene.
I'm going to read a really bad ad. And I have...
Would you notice? She must have got a studio or something. Her sound is unbelievable.
She's
now.
She's upgraded from her truck to like a soundproof booth in her
house.
She
bought a mic and a mixer.
a Craigslist ad, and it's for a gelding Friesian thoroughbred trained horse, $13,000. Friesian thoroughbred gelding 11 years foaled in spring 2012. Registered under Friesian Sport Horse Registry, trained. Friesian. Ground in hand, under saddle, and pull cart. Our gelding was broke and trained from January 2023 to October 2023. So we have an 11-year-old that's only been trained for 10 months. I feel like I've heard this before. But anyway, he is fully adaptable to your riding style. Our gelding is a very powerful and energetic horse. Does that mean he's uncontrollable?
Yes.
Anyway,
yes.
He is a beautiful mover and loves to be worked. Psychotic. He desires a routine environment to be challenged and pushed to his maximum potential! Exclamation point. He loves to be pampered. I'm assuming means gets too many cookies. And with the best platform for training, he will be a shining star! Exclamation point. Our gelding is approximately 16 hands. Serious purchases only. Purchase must, all caps, transport him to his new home, all caps, cash only, $13,000.
Woo!
So, I'm going to give this person, for an 11-year-old that's only been trained for 10 months, $13,000 cash. No paper trail of who I bought this horse from or that I own it. I don't know. Sounds fishy, but thanks for listening. Bye.
Lorraine.
Glenn, we don't have to do this anymore. We just have her do it.
I know. Lorraine now provides commentary, the whole thing. It just makes our job so much easier.
I mean, I just sit here. You know what? Really bad. It's just really entertaining when other people do it. I like it. This is fun.
I'll have Jennifer send her all the ads on Thursday, and she can just record them all for Friday, and we can go home early.
In her studio that apparently is soundproof and with mics and mixers.
Sounds better than we do.
It does. That's amazing. Okay, Jolene sent the next one in. This is hard to read. It looks like a Facebook thing, but it's like with the black behind it and white print. Okay. All it says is $$, %$, %$. It reads like a haiku. Like everything's a different
it
line.
It does, actually.
Macho. 5 years. Neutered. Tender to kill.
What?
Zero tomorrows.
What?
San Antonio, Texas. For more info and price and location, send inbox. Y'all.
What? Are they sending it to the auction? I don't know what's going on here.
Well, obviously, this is some sort of like, I mean, for real, this is a great, really bad ad. But just know that this is a scam.
Yes.
And obviously, but yet entertaining to read on the podcast. So thank you.
And apparently you can't get pictures or anything until you contact them and you send a deposit because that's how
it works.
Well,
it's obviously, Glenn, it's tender to kill tender with to zero kill. Tomorrows and neutered.
It so, does sound like a
there's
poem.
That.
A bad
tender
home.
To kill.
I don't know what that means. Maybe tender to kill was dad and zero tomorrows was mom.
You're really reaching too far.
I'm trying. I'm trying really hard here not to make it.
This is a guy sitting in, I don't know,
India.
Iraq.
India. Nigeria. He's a prince.
Nigeria. Yeah, he's a prince.
Sarah sent the horse trailer of the week. Small livestock trailer, $450. Sold trailer, solid trailer with divider.
No, that it's is not. Not a solid trailer.
It's not a solid they lie in trailer ads so bad. So it's a tiny little trailer that looks like you haul wood in. It doesn't have a roof. It's just a couple of wooden sides with some tires that haven't been changed in 45 years.
It's like a vegetable hauler. Like it hauls like
watermelons.
Yeah.
Or tomatoes. Or you would put firewood in to just store at your property. And then when you're done, you just burn the whole thing.
The weird thing is, it looks like the back door is it's like paneling. It looks like they took pallets and they lined up a bunch of pallets.
Right.
But in the back, they were like, you know what? That doesn't seem secure enough. So In like the shape of a letter K. They've got 2x6s just nailed in random directions. Wow, that's terrible.
Do not buy this for $450, by the way. Just, it's a bonfire waiting to happen.
You can haul your watermelons in it. Yeah, it'd be fine.
Or firewood. Well, I don't want to put firewood in it. Probably wheels would probably fall off. It'd be too heavy.
Yeah, don't do that. Oh, this one Katie sent in. Bless its heart. Oh. And I can't swear, but there's some swearing. All right. This is like a, this is a Facebook ad. Someone come get this little before he breaks a leg on my heels. What? Do you like them adorable and ornery? Spunk might be your guy. He's only a baby, so he can't fault him too much. .. But man, this dude a character? Spunk's qualities include annoying every horse in the pasture, running balls to the wall and making humans cringe, knocking over his food bucket, prancing, jumping over random objects, running from you, and randomly bucking. But he is gelded, and he is a halflinger, so that's some bonus points.
Well, he's yelling. That's some bonus points.
Y'all know how much I love that breed. Spunk is also halter broke and has decent manners. .. When you can catch
him. Wait a minute. He just spent 5 sentences telling us how his manners suck.
Yeah. He's terrible, but he's awesome.
Yeah.
I really don't need any more vet bills. Someone come ASAP. No kickers. Zanesville, Ohio, $1,300. Now, the thing is, it says he's a halflinger and a baby, but he's gelded and he looks like a foal. How is he castrated already?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe they thought that would fix the problem. Let's get it done really quick.
He's 3 weeks old. Go ahead and take him.
Yeah. We're sick of this horse already.
Pictures of him are bucking and kicking and being a general nuisance.
And the vet bills were not for this pony. They were for every other horse in the paddock.
It's true. poor Spunks.
Kelly sent this one in and she wrote, in the spirit of bad ad horse trailers, we present bad buildings from Facebook. small field.
Scary.
Oh my God. There hasn't been a horse in this field in 30 years. Small field shelter, approximately 10 by 10, but tall enough to accommodate up to 16 hands. No. Only photo I have. It's not in nettles anymore. And what they mean is there is literally in this picture weeds growing up to the windows. Got blown down in the last storm, and I have bought a replacement instead. Few small broken bits of wood, but we'll go back up together. Okay, wait a minute. Roof could do with refelting as it does drip under heavy rain. It's dismantled, thanks, wind. So what happened is this building that there's a picture of fell down, and now they want you to come and pick up the dead wood.
For $200.
And you could put it back together yourself when you figure it out.
And here's the thing. Like, yes, I bet the roof leaks because it's not actually a complete roof. No, like, there's
half of it's blown away.
It was standing. This is,
people,
you know what?
Can try
my shelter blew
the,
down on...
You didn't,
my shelter
did
blew
it?
Down in the tornado. I should have sold
you
it.
You should have sold
instead
it.
Instead of paid somebody to pick it up.
God, yeah, people buy thinking? Puzzles all the time to put them back together. They could have done that with your shelter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I should have done that. Well, this is garbage. Well, thank you, Kelly, for sending that
oh,
in.
By the
because
way, that
it
was
is
from England. So it's not just in the United States.
Oh, good. They're stupid there, too. Oh, gosh. I wish you could see a picture of it. I mean, it's like a it's ply. It's like plywood. There's windows, but they're just cutouts in the plywood. There's no glass, like there's no window.
There's a reason it fell down.
Yeah. Strong wind. Not so strong wind. Jamma sent this one in, and let's see. ISO Trail Horse. It seems to be like a little screenshot of a Facebook page. I don't know what Facebook page. ISO Trail Horse. 3 feet in the grave, crippled, older than your grandma, safe trail horses for my disabled daughter, incompetent husband, and feeble mother. I say this with love, but this is my reality. I am a hunter jumper trainer. Long story short, I have a private barn in my backyard located next to trails. I revamped the facility for trail pleasure, rehab, and retirement, and now the family wants a part in it. Yeah, you did all the work. The horses will die with me. They can be close to death as long as they have the brain to take my family on trail rides with lots of beers, if that puts it in perspective. I don't mean to offend anyone with this post, but hoping it brings the right horse the right opportunity to retire with a fun, loving family.
Has she just had it? Has this woman just had it? She went through all that work and now they weren't involved. They didn't help with any of it.
None of it. Not a thing.
No. She just had it. Beth sent the next one in. True beginner mount. Way more woe than go. Perfect for lessons and drinking beer. There's a lot of drinking beer today. DM for deets.
You know what, Beth? If you could go ahead and send that horse to the one that Jamma sent him, we could match make.
Perfect.
Perfect.
10%?
Uh-huh, sure. 10% of nothing is nothing. Steph sent the next one in. Wow, there's a lot of swearing today, too. Take advantage of me being ticked off at this little turd. He can be a real head just for... Okay, emojis are getting harder to read for
this
prices.
This means $10,000. $10,000.
It's like a pointy finger and a donut.
And then a K. $10,000 for a head?
Okay, here we go. 3-yo gelding by a special firewater cross Frenchman's eye candy. By Frenchman's Biancas. Is this a quarter horse or is this a warm blood? We don't know yet. Sire has over 15 K-A-Y in earnings. Oh, this is a quarter horse. Here we go. Sire has over 15 K-A-Y in earnings and is a 1D horse. That's barrel racing. Dam was a fun pole bending mare and rode around pretty fancy before she was retired. Has about 60 rides on him, rides around pretty broke, but is constantly grab-assy. He has the athleticism to be gritty, but gets scared of his own grit and will take a long time to mature.
What's that mean?
I don't know. I have no idea. Not a bold horse, very chicken-esque, not my preferred personality. Do you mean you don't want a spooky monster jerk horse like we all do? He's built like a brick house and has amazing bone and foot. Thicker than a Snicker.
I need to describe Scooter that way.
Does he have a nice anal button?
I gotta write that down. Thicker than a Snicker.
I have too many to ride, and this one is making my hair turn gray because he's a tit. Lockhart, Texas.
There's more swearing in this ad. They want $10,000. They want $10,000 for this horse that they're so fond of.
Well, obviously, Glenn, he's a gelding by a special firewater crossed with Frenchman's letter I candy by Frenchman's Biancas, and he's a okay.
For 60 rides on him and get pretty broke, maybe a little broke. Maybe.
Let me also just with
we
my
didn't take out too many of the barrels.
My slight knowledge in barrels, $15,000 in earnings being a 1D barrel horse, it's not that much.
That would be my guess.
That's
otherwise,
not
we wouldn't be selling them.
For 1D, that is the sire. They're selling it as this sire has over $15,000 in earnings as a casual observer.
Oh, that's the
observer.
Sire. Oh, I
that's
see.
That's the sire.
I see. It's bad. Just gets worse the more I understand it.
It's just, that's bad. It's bad.
Yeah, but
bad.
I got
it's
the
bad.
Saying thicker than a Snicker out of it. So
you've learned about anal buttons and thicker as a Snicker than today. So there you go.
That's
you're welcome.
Scooter. He's thick as a Snicker.
Thicker than a Snicker, baby.
All right, I love that.
That's how I am, too, so it's fine.
Yeah, all of us. I think once you're past 20, you're thicker than a Snicker. And I really do want a Snicker now, actually.
Now I really want a Snicker.
Yeah, for lunch. Speaking of lunch, we went over on today's show, so I'm afraid we're not going to be doing a post-show today. But thanks, everybody, for listening. We really appreciate it. Have a terrific weekend. I know a lot of you are getting rain again in the middle part of the country. So
yep,
we hope that it ends soon and that you get to ride your horses sometime soon. Now that the snow's melted, the rain hasn't stopped. So we're thinking about you. I know one of our hosts, Heather, up there in New Jersey, flooded. Her house flooded. Her office flooded. Her first floor flooded. I mean, yeah, that was bad. So we're thinking about you all. The ones that you can ride your horses this weekend, have a great time. And we're going to be in the 90s here in Florida, so we have that to look forward to, too. Shut Summer up. Has arrived.
All right, everybody, have a great weekend. Spay, neuter, and yell.